it's amazing what it takes to get the truth these days, that you cannot just trust single sources. You can't just trust your government, what they're saying. We have such a divide all around the world. But when you think of a divide and you think about, you know, the conversations going on, nothing sort of represents that more than Israel. From, you know, at least for the last 8 months, we have been very focused on Israel, as has most of the world. Why? Because Israel made a deal with Pfizer. Netanyahu essentially sold his entire nation into a trial of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. And as we've been watching, the questions would be, it's now the most vaccinated nation in the world. They got vaccinated faster than just about anybody else. And if you've been watching the High Wire, you are aware that that program is now falling apart. The majority of hospitalizations, 75, some say as high as 90% of the severe cases and deaths happening in hospitals are amongst those that are fully vaccinated. We just showed you last week the current prime minister saying, if you've gotten two shots, you're getting very, very sick. They're now mandating a third booster shot. And if you have that green pass to get into social events, it will not work. You will be considered unvaccinated if you get two shots. Well, because of this, or at least I imagine because of this, there's real unrest and discussions now happening inside of Israel, and specifically amongst a group of ultra-religious practitioners in Israel who had a symposium and brought in doctors and scientists to discuss all of the conversations that apparently are not happening in their news inside of Israel. One of those guests that was invited was one of our special guests that's been on the show many times, Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. He weighed in on his thoughts of the vaccination program taking place in Israel. The use of, if you have been watching, you know that he was big on using hydroxychloroquine and zinc. Well, he did not mince words as he approached the conversations in this very, very important and really critical conversation now happening in Israel. This is a video that went viral. Take a look at this.
Welcome, Dr. Zelenko. Thank you for joining us.
So I'll just give you quickly my experience. My team has directly treated successfully 6,000 patients. I've trained hundreds of physicians who are now training their students. And as a cumulative group, we've treated millions of patients successfully. Anytime you evaluate any therapeutic, you need to look at it from three perspectives. Is it safe? Does it work? And do you need it? Just because you have a capability doesn't mean that you have to use it. It has to be a medical necessity. There has to be a need for it. You look at the CDC, the statistics for children under the age of 18 that are healthy, the survival rate is 99.998% survival rate with no treatment. If you have a demographic that has no risk of dying from an illness, why would you inject them with a poison death shot? The two countries in the world that are most vaccinated its citizens is Israel, a high, like 85% rate of vaccination, and an island nation in the Indian Ocean called Seychelles, also over 80%. Both countries are experiencing a Delta variant outbreak. So let me ask you a question. If you vaccinated the majority of your population, why are you still having an outbreak? That's number one. Number two, why would you even give a third shot of the same stuff that didn't work the first two times? The number one cause of death in the short term is from blood clots, and most of it is happening within the first 3-4 days. Now, the other problem is that it's causing myocarditis or inflammation. So my question is, why would I vaccinate someone with a potentially destructive, lethal substance without ruling that out first? You are the study right now. The Pfizer CEO said Israel is the biggest laboratory in the world.
Why are they holding back these things? We see all the time coming out studies. There's no problems of fertility, bluff. No problems of sperm count, bluff. Cancer, bluff. Not only by the governments, but by most of the medical industry is telling us that all these studies that say that it's not, that the vaccination is dangerous, is all baloney, and it's only anti-vax.
Every single person you just mentioned, if you sum total the number of patients they've treated for COVID, it will equal zero. And I've treated over 6,000 patients. So you have to know who you're talking to. There's been a very coordinated effort to suppress life-saving information. Drugs like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, which are the safest medications in the history of medicine, have been suppressed, and you can't even get them in Israel. Doctors who dare to say something that is against the narrative are being deplatformed. Can you tell me why? And then can you tell me why there is suppression of knowledge of side effects? You should be answering that question, not me. There is a coordinated effort here. And Israel's leading the way. You know, 18 months ago, if I would have told you that COVID-19 is a bioweapon, you would say I'm a conspiracy theorist. You know, Noah in the Bible was a conspiracy theorist until it rained. It's so hard for Jewish people to believe that there could be a group of people willing to destroy. It's a war against God. Dr. Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for the discovery of HIV, said that this is the biggest risk to humanity and the biggest risk of genocide in the history of humanity. In my opinion, the current Israeli government is a Gilgul of Joseph Mengele. They've committed human experimentation on their own people. So I beg of this Beis Din to put the interests of Klal Yisrael above politics and anything else that may alter your opinions. I received daily death threats. I risked my life, my career, my financial life, my reputation, almost my family, everything, just to sit here and tell you what I'm telling. And I really believe that God is testing every human being here. And here's the test. These people are no different than Paro. They think they're God. And you're going to bow down to them. If you're going to bow down to them, let them protect you. Let's see how that's going to work out for you. If we follow the advice of some of the quote-unquote global leaders, let's say like Bill Gates said last year, 7 billion people need to be vaccinated, the death rate will be over 2 billion people. So wake up. This is World War III. This is a level of malfeasance and malevolence that we have not seen probably in the history of humanity.
Okay, thank you very much, Doctor. I want to give you a personal thank you because I used your protocol. I had COVID, and I was able to get your protocol here in Israel. So
I'm glad you got better. I just hope that every other Jew could be like you.
Well, if this is the first time that you've heard of Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, then let me just quickly explain that he is famous for the Zelenko protocol, using hydroxychloroquine and zinc as a treatment for COVID-19, had an incredible success rate, thousands of patients in New York. We've had him on the show before, and it's my honor and pleasure to have him in studio right now at this very moment. First of all, you know, what an incredibly powerful testimony there. Now, for people that don't understand, you know, who are you talking to there? What is that group? What do they represent in Israel?
That was the senior rabbinic leadership, spiritual leadership of a certain part of the Jewish nation.
Okay.
And more the Ashkenazi Jewish population. And what they say is frequently considered the spiritual law. So it's a good group to talk to if you want to influence and inform the public.
So they'll make rulings based on, sometimes they'll get together and have a sort of think tank event like this and come to a ruling that they advise their population about?
Yeah, and after this testimony and that of other doctors, they ruled that children should not be vaccinated and anyone who had previous infection and has antibodies shouldn't be vaccinated. So at least we accomplished something.
That seems huge. I mean, and so are they comfortable? You know, that puts them in an extremely dissenting and opposition sort of perspective to what Israel as a nation is doing. I mean, they are now talking about They have a vaccine passport. That passport, my understanding is by September, if you don't have your third vaccination, the first two aren't even good enough to get you into many establishments. So what happens in this community is it seems to be, is it fracturing? Is it tearing apart? Is it a bad thing? Is it a good thing?
Well, these are brave rabbis. A lot of them are getting death threats. Anyone who is speaking up against the narrative, the full force of whoever is doing this comes down on them. So this is a war for survival, and survival of the soul of humanity. And ultimately, it's going to have to take people ready to sacrifice everything in order to bring the truth to the world. This is a dangerous game. But the reality is that, according to world experts, not me, real world experts in immunology and vaccinology, they're screaming this is a potential cause of genocide, and that has not been excluded from the human race, and we're just waiting to see what's going to happen. This gamble is ludicrous.
Especially when you look at the death rate of this virus, really. I mean, as you said in that, you know, incredibly eloquent piece, you know, under the age of 19, you know, practically zero risk, even up till 40, zero, you know, we're just 99.9899, you know, these types of numbers. What happened? I mean, from your perspective, you know, I'm assuming you're practicing scholar in Judaism. This is sort of something that you're focused on. This is, you know, the state for the Jewish people. Yet of all of the societies in the world, it seems to me when we, you know, I read about the Jewish people in my Bible, I look at Nazi Germany, sort of these constant stories of oppression, of, you know, sort of a will being forced upon them. How of all the people is this nation the one that decides we're going to let Pfizer come in and you're going to have to go along with this program or you will have no freedom?
So we have to not confuse the Jewish people with the Israeli government.
Okay.
The Jewish people are designated, whatever they're designated, by God, and as it's expressed in the Old Testament. The Israeli government is a socialist government that was formed on godless principles. So just because they represent Israel doesn't mean that they represent Judaism, the soul of Judaism, or God. With that said, I think the Israeli politicians are the biggest prostitutes in the world, and they sold out their people for money. I personally, when I came out with my protocol, obviously I have a feeling towards Israel. I have a lot of family there. I've been there many times. It's a place that is dear to my heart, and I care about what happens there. And so I tried to influence and share medical information with Israel. So I had sent a letter to the Ministry of Health of Israel, which I know that they got, and I also had it hand delivered to Bibi Netanyahu, confirmed that he got it, and he completely ignored, actually I shouldn't say he ignored it, he ordered 4 million pills of hydroxychloroquine from the Indian Prime Minister Modi. He asked for a favor and he got it, but that stayed in a warehouse and was never used, because at some point there was a deal made with the pharmaceutical industry that made Israel a, like the Pfizer CEO says, biggest laboratory in the world. Now, I would think that a people that was brutalized just 80 years ago and actually used for human experimentation by Joseph Mengele, for example, in the concentration camps, would be very careful not to do human experimentation on its own people. But apparently the government didn't care. And in my opinion, they've destroyed half of their population, if not more.
So what type of news, you know, you have family there. What are they seeing? Do they have social media? Do they have any of the things that we have here that you can see some of the injury stories? I mean, when I hear those rabbis saying, we're hearing there's no, you know, side effects whatsoever. I mean, we're watching news. I watched a doctor from inside of Israel saying, we have 95% of our serious cases now are amongst the fully vaccinated. Are they not, is that news not making it inside of Israel? Is it being censored?
The censorship apparatus in Israel will make the Chinese proud.
Okay.
The average person does not have any exposure to the other side of this issue, and anyone who attempts to do so is shut down and vilified.
What happens if, you know, as I, you know, was looking at, you know, Israel, you've got Netanyahu, you've got the current prime minister is now saying we all have to get a third shot. You have all these politicians weighing in. You have rabbis, obviously.
Now, I would think that a people that was brutalized just 80 years ago and actually used for human experimentation by Joseph Mengele, for example, in the concentration camps, would be very careful not to do human experimentation on its own people. But apparently the government didn't care. And in my opinion, they have destroyed half of their population, if not more.
So what type of news, you know, you have family there. What are they seeing? Do they have social media? Do they have any of the things that we have here that you can see some of the injury stories? I mean, when I hear those rabbis saying, we're hearing there's no, you know, side effects whatsoever. I mean, we're watching news. I watched a doctor from inside of Israel saying, we have 95% of our serious cases now are amongst the fully vaccinated. Are they not, is that news not making it inside of Israel? Is it being censored?
The censorship apparatus in Israel would make the Chinese proud.
Okay.
The average person does not have any exposure to the other side of this issue, and anyone who attempts to do so is shut down and vilified.
What happens if, you know, as I, you know, was looking at, you know, Israel, you've got Netanyahu, you've got the current prime minister is now saying we all have to get a third shot. You have all these politicians weighing in. You have rabbis, obviously, this group voted in your favor, but many telling their population, you know, you have to get this vaccine. In fact, I think we have a video. I want to play this video for you because this might help. Can we play? We have a video that we just received, an advertisement. I believe this was probably released in the community in New York, but take a look at this.
My dear and beloved Chevra, the Ribono Shalom has given us a gift, a very precious gift. It's called the COVID-19 vaccines.
Vaccines have allowed us to reopen.
And to enjoy Simcha safely again.
With all of the data, we clearly see just how safe and effective these vaccines are for all populations.
Including the elderly, those with underlying health conditions, and pregnant and nursing women.
Due to so many people being vaccinated, the number of hospitalizations and deaths decreased greatly since the vaccines were released.
But the numbers of COVID-19 cases are spiking again, and in New York, almost all deaths due to COVID-19 are in unvaccinated individuals.
Unvaccinated people die!
Die!
They die.
We haven't lived through enough. We shall live in New York, but it's not together, but chingadug! For we in the community have to realize that if 99% of doctors say take the shot, we take the shot. What's the shile over here? Are we playing games?
The Torah says, when it pertains to matters of health, you have to follow the doctors.
So let's all feel comfortable yet again, davening in shul, going back to yeshivas, Sparta, Knesset, Sparta, and Roshas.
Please take achrayis for your neighbor's health as well as your own.
Nafshei Sechem is in the plural. When we take the vaccine, we're helping everybody. And that's a double mitzvah.
There is, unfortunately, a lot of misinformation circulating.
But it's important to know the truth.
After over a year of research, clinical trials, and the actual vaccines in use,
we see no evidence of any kind of negative outcomes for fertility and no evidence of increased risk to women of childbearing age.
We are a cohesive community.
And the very best way to ensure our health and safety is with one united, harmonious voice.
One voice.
One voice.
One voice. Gedolei Yisrael have urged us all to take the vaccine. We need to follow in their footsteps.
Cases are spiking in every state.
Let's not add the five towns and New York City, Chalila, to that list.
We want to celebrate the Yom Tovim responsibly.
Get vaccinated now.
Get vaccinated now.
Get vaccinated now.
Right now.
Why are you still waiting? Please get vaccinated today. Let's do it as soon as we can.
Get vaccinated now.
Please get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated. Get it done. That's what the doctors and Rabbanim want us to do. Let's go.
Be smart. Be responsible. Get vaccinated.
When I watched that video, I imagined that these are really good men that really care about people. From my perspective, I can tell they obviously haven't done the research that I've done about this vaccine. And I try to imagine what it's going to be like if the type of destruction that, like the inventor of mRNA vaccines, Robert Malone, is concerned about, or, you know, Geert Van Den Bosch, who was once running vaccine programs at Gavi, you know, Dr. Michael Yeadon. I mean, and you're amongst these doctors. When you watch that, what does it make you feel, think?
I see dead men walking. You know, if we look back into the Bible, when the Jews left Egypt, only 20% left. I don't know if you knew that.
No, 80, I didn't know that.
80% chose to stay slaves. And then there was a generation in the desert where half of them died off. So only around 10% made it to Israel. So another way of saying it, that only 10% of the Jews, or in general, I would say all people, are able to leave the slave mentality and think, have redemptive thinking, or think as free men. So while I don't doubt the motives of these people, I agree with your assessment, but the arrogance to think that they know better than world-class physicians. For example, I mean, I was the first to develop a protocol. Half of these people are alive, or their families alive, because they used my protocol. I treated them all. Mm. And you would think there would be some appreciation, or at least take counsel with people who really know. My practice has treated almost now 7,000 patients.
Wow.
We've trained probably more than 1,000 physicians worldwide on how to treat COVID properly, and they've trained their students. So as a collective group, we've treated millions of patients mm-hmm. successfully. And so we're the ones that have the experience. Most of these people that said have not treated one patient.
Right.
So they're in no position to render an opinion that has any validity, in my opinion. Now, the world experts are saying the following, that in animal models, these vaccines have been shown to kill animals because of a immune reaction called ADE.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Now, I'm gonna ask a simple question. Wouldn't it be a good idea to exclude that phenomenon from the human race before you deploy this vaccine on everyone?
It's one of the, yes, I agree. It's one of the things that I've been very concerned about and brought up a lot on this show.
So the gambling with the survival of the human race. And according to many experts now, we're beginning to see the start of ADE.
Yeah.
There are the patients that have been vaccinated have higher and get sick, have higher viral load titers or levels than the unvaccinated.
Right.
That means that they're going to be sicker. And Israeli hospitals are filled with vaccinated patients.
Right.
The three top countries in the world that have been have the most vaccinated of their citizens is Israel, Gibraltar, and Seychelles, an island nation in the Indian Ocean. They all have more than 85% vaccinated. They're all having huge outbreaks of Delta variant.
Yeah.
So whenever you evaluate any therapeutic, you have to, first of all, see if you need it, does it work, and is it safe?
Yeah.
And in my opinion, in general, there's no medical necessity for COVID-19 treatment, only in the high-risk group, which has a 7.5% death rate. By the way, you saw they didn't any facts. They didn't quote any studies. They just, it's rhetoric.
Yeah.
It's propaganda.
Well, I'm going to assume that script is written probably by somebody in Hollywood, scripted it, brought it in, said this is what you should say, probably had some experts. Now, one of the things that you said that I would challenge is that you said they have the arrogance to override the experts, but you and I both know they're not hearing the experts that we're talking about. You know, they're not, they're probably watching CNN and MSNBC, where they're not seeing Dr. Robert Malone, Michael Yeadon, you know, Sukrit Bhakti, you know, you name it, all these people that are talking about these issues. And so I found it interesting when the, you know, part of the doctrine, I guess they say, is we, you know, when it comes to medicine, you listen to your doctor, and that's the highest, you know, as a doctor, is that a part of the religion that doctors do hold this sort of almost, you know, spiritual or power space in your health?
Well, the Old Testament says, Yirapa Varapa, that the Torah licensed a doctor to be a partner with God in the healing process.
Mm.
So there is a divine component to it. But I still think that if you're in a position of leadership, you cannot plead ignorance. And it's your responsibility to view all sides of the issue and present the facts, all the facts, not just one narrative. So pleading ignorance is completely unacceptable.
Yeah,
they should not be in that position of leadership. And by the way, I'm telling people, don't believe a word that I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying and do your own research, do your own due diligence, and vet what I'm saying. I'm giving you specific information, and then make your own decision. I don't care if you end up taking the vaccine, but that's on you. But at least you have both sides of the issue.
Yeah.
Look, what's the threshold of death that we're going to tolerate? In 1976, 26 people died from the swine flu vaccine. The entire program was shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. According to our government, that they're admitting to, there's 14,000 dead Americans already. According to the CDC whistleblower, who signed an affidavit, 45,000 are dead.
Right.
According to VAERS, the 2009 Harvard VAERS study, which said only 1% of events actually reported. Yeah. Now, granted, that death will be reported higher, but by what percentage?
Yeah.
20%. So then you have to factor in the unreported. And how about my colleagues who are trying to file reports and the system is rejecting those death reports?
Yeah.
Or how about the proven, we have screenshots of reports that are now scrubbed off the server.
Yep.
Senator Ron Johnson's looking into this. So there's a coordinated effort to suppress the truth. And let me tell you the truth, okay? We're seeing a tremendous amount of patients die from blood clots, especially within 3 days of getting this vaccine. Yep. They're getting inflammation of their hearts, which has a mortality rate of 50% within 5 years. The miscarriage rate, according to many experts, is shooting up
yeah.
by a factor of 4 to 8. And that's not even, and the long-term effects, we're seeing increases in cancer, and we even know why. There's a 2018 study from, I think, Sloan Kettering, that explained that certain types of mRNA suppress tumor suppressor genes.
Right.
So there are spikes of very unusual cancers in young people. Autoimmune diseases are up. And there was a leaked study from Pfizer from Japan, a biodistribution study.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the narrative was you get a shot, it only stays here.
Yeah.
But what that study showed is actually goes through the entire body. And do you know where it accumulates the most? In ovaries.
Right.
So maybe there's an effect on long-term fertility. We don't know. It wasn't vetted. But the main problem is that in the 1960s, we had the RSV vaccine. It killed the children it was given to. The reason why was ADE.
Yeah.
In the 70s, there was the dengue fever virus vaccine. It was given to adults. It killed the adults because of ADE. And then historically, all the coronavirus vaccines, all of them, have demonstrated ADE in animal studies.
Yes.
So now we're deploying something that has the potential of killing a large percentage of the people that are getting the vaccine, and everyone's okay with that? So what's happened here is the following, that the real pandemic is the global fear and the isolation that has been accomplished by the use of this artificially made bioweapon. COVID-19, according to all opinions, is an artificially made bioweapon. We know that in 1999, Dr. Ralph Baric modified a surface protein to make it infect human beings, a bat virus, and we know the patent number associated with that modification. And then it got outsourced to China, and they made modifications that augmented the lethality of this virus, that it could kill human lung tissue and cause blood clots, and we know the patent numbers of these modifications. So not even the liberal media has the audacity to deny that this is a artificially made bioweapon. Yeah. I would have been called a conspiracy theorist.
I know, that's shifted, right?
Now it's a conspiracy to commit genocide.
Right.
Not a theory.
Right.
So when you have this deployed on the human race, and it caused global fear, and you know what happens, if you studied psychological warfare, which I have, prolonged fear and anxiety, coupled together with human isolation, psychologically decompensates the individual, that they have a breakdown and are not capable anymore of rational thought. There's a global psychosis going on, and people will gravitate towards any false promise that will reduce their emotional pain that they're in because of the fear. So you can dangle a false vaccine in front of them and they'll believe it just because they don't want to feel the pain anymore.
Right.
If you challenge that narrative, they become belligerent because what you're really doing is you're bringing them back into that emotional pain state that they don't want to be in.
Interesting.
They've lost their minds, literally. So, and the people that have orchestrated this are evil, but absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, masters.
And look what they've done. They've suppressed access to life-saving medication. You know, ivermectin is getting hydroxychloroquine in the eyes.
Yeah, right. I was going to ask you about that because obviously, you know, you came on the show very early on. We were looking at Didier Raoult in France was, you know, I think one of the first people to really say, hey, check out this hydroxychloroquine. You jumped on board, started working with zinc. Has your protocol changed at all? Because ivermectin was sort of a new player. We, you know, Donald Trump got in a lot of trouble for saying that he was taking hydroxychloroquine. This whole thing got politicized. But then we realized it wasn't just hydroxychloroquine specifically. Any drug that was going to come forward that seemed to be promising in studies around the world, you know, may even be used in India. Like, I mean, you said Netanyahu reaches out to India for these drugs, but here in one of the most advanced societies in the world, most of us can't get access to it. Pharmacies are being told to not release these things if they have it. There's like a inquisition now if you happen to get a prescription for any of these drugs. But how has your protocol stayed the same? Are you still, you know, for all those out there, and there does seem to be a surge. There's a lot of cases right now in the country. Is hydroxychloroquine your number one tool?
No. My protocol is common sense and to keep people alive.
Okay.
I never said it was the best approach. I said it was the only approach at that
right.
time.
Right. Okay, yeah.
But as information came in and we learned about steroids, learned about blood thinners, we learned about ivermectin, we learned about colchicine and Luvox and monoclonal antibodies.
Yeah.
So I'm not a hydroxychloroquine doctor. I'm a zinc ionophore doctor.
Okay.
What that means, if you understand the mechanism of action, then it's much easier to understand the approach. It's the zinc that kills the enzyme that the virus needs to make copies of itself.
Okay.
The zinc cannot get, it's a bullet, but it can't get into the cell on its own. So you need a gun. You need a zinc delivery system. Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin are two excellent. They're 50 caliber machine guns. You can get zinc into the cell really well with them.
Okay.
But there are others. There's over-the-counter options, which I think your listeners should know about.
Okay.
Because then they can go to the vitamin shop. They don't need a prescription.
Okay.
Something called quercetin.
Yep.
Which is the derivative of plant. I mean, apples. It's a bioflavonoid. It's Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. And then there's something called EGCG, which is a green tea extract.
Okay.
And they function the same way. They get zinc into the cell. So there are options that people should be aware of. But the key is to treat, what's never changed with me, is to treat early. Do not wait for the fire to get out of control.
Right.
There's two diseases here. There's the COVID-19 viral infection, and then there's the crazy immune reaction, the inflammatory stage, which actually is what kills people.
Right.
So the key is don't let that happen, which is a week later. You have to get rid of the virus before that happens. And the only way you're going to get rid of the virus is with an antiviral combination approach. So I take each patient and I evaluate what's best for them. I use both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They're both excellent drugs. But I also use steroids. I use blood thinners and all the other drugs that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's custom. It's not a cookie cutter approach. Medicine's an art. You have to treat people individually with compassion and really take a good history and also assess how they present to know how aggressive I want to be in their treatment. Listen, I haven't had a death, thank God, in over 7 months. And we're talking about treating many thousands of patients.
Are you concerned at all about Delta variant? Do you believe in variants? Do you believe that these things are happening? If I can take it a little deeper.
I do, but I don't believe they're naturally occurring, because the same people that gave us the gift of COVID-19 could easily manipulate the three-dimensional shape of the spike protein to make it novel It's not that hard to do. So I suspect, although I do not have evidence for this, but all the new variants that are coming, if you notice, they usually come when there's a lull and a fear, when there's a kind of a normalization, people are kind of reintegrating, they're getting back their sanity. All of a sudden, there has to be a new stressor to keep people in the fear state, so these people could maintain control. So, yes, the variants are real, but I am not afraid of any of them, and I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because the pathway for viral replication for all of them is the same enzyme. Unlike the vaccines, which target specific strains, the mechanism that I'm advocating for is to shut down the factory that all the variants would use to make copies of its genetic material. If you do that, you shut down all the variants for 20 cents a pill.
Right. Let me ask you this, because this is the biggest question coming into the high wire right now, which is for those people that have been injected with the vaccine, some of them suffering, you know, we've had a few nurses on that are having issues, muscle spasms and seizures throughout their body. As you've said, you know, blood clots is a major issue. We're hearing reports from some doctors that are now doing D-dimer tests that are finding, some of them reporting as high as 60% of the patients that are receiving the vaccine are having, you know, micro blood clots that are only detectable by the D-dimer tests. Do you think any of these things that you're using, like that zinc pathway or that way to, you know, to stop the replication, would that work in someone that's gotten the vaccination?
Right. So it's important to risk stratify patients and to understand what the actual mechanism is that we're worried about. Because then just because someone has a bomb inside them doesn't mean it has to detonate.
Right.
We can have strategies to prevent the detonation. So the first thing is don't get more bombs.
Right.
And then if you know what the trigger is, you can have an approach. So for example, a 10-year-old comes to me, let's say, and has been vaccinated. That is a 99-year-old nursing home patient for me right now in terms of risk.
Right.
And what I'll do is I will aggressively prophylax this patient as if they're a 99-year-old nursing home resident. And the reason why is the mechanism of ADE is the following. The vaccine induces an immune response and you have antibodies, but these antibodies are not good antibodies. And if they come into contact with the virus that they are designed to neutralize, what happens is there's a excessive immune response that actually kills the person.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we've seen in the animal models.
Yes.
So the key is not to trigger those bombs.
Got it.
So those are the patients that need to be aggressively prophylaxed. And if, God forbid, they get sick, in my opinion, if they have a runny nose, I'm going to treat them as if they have COVID. Because the risk of missing ADE reaction and having this autoimmune death is so great, in my opinion, until proven otherwise, that you have to be hyper-aggressive. So, you know, God accepts repentance. I'm a big fan of King David. He writes, he has a good prescription in the Psalms. He writes, stay away from bad, do good, and live. So stay away from bad, don't live in fear, don't live in isolation, and don't take the poison death shot.
Right.
Do good is take, if you're in the high risk category, you're over the age of 45, or you have medical problems, or you took this vaccine, you're in the high risk category, take aggressive prophylaxis. And if, God forbid, you actually do get sick, you have to treat hyper-aggressively. And I'm not going to give you the dosing, but I have this information for free on my website that people can just reference.
If someone, and this is, you know, for me, I am a vitamin guy first. I've never really gone to a hospital with a flu or anything I've had my entire life. It's just, you know, you run the fever, you run its course. There's more fear around this. I have to think the fear when we're getting sick is affecting our immune systems. But for everybody at home right now, that I think if they're watching the high wire, they're probably taking zinc and quercetin. And I suppose some of them probably have ivermectin ready to go. What is that point that a person should say, the vitamins are now not strong enough for doing the job? They've got COVID. Do they just stick with the quercetin and zinc? Or how do they know that it's time to move on to something stronger?
So, excellent question. And first, you have to know what risk group you belong to.
Yep.
Because if you look at the data from the CDC, even that if you're in the low risk group, your likelihood of survival is almost 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So you may suffer for a week, like the flu, but you will survive. Now, these medications do lessen the severity and the symptoms. My concern is in the high risk group.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone over the age of 45 or anyone with chronic medical problems or vaccinated, that they
huge group, obesity is huge. 75%, I think, of cases is obesity we're seeing.
So they need to be under the care of a competent doctor. Really, patients should not treat themselves.
Okay.
But you do the best you can if you can't find the competent doctor. So you have to become your own doctor.
Right.
So the high-risk patients would be already, in my opinion, on ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine prophylaxis.
Okay.
And if they get sick, I would intensify that. And sometimes I use both. And sometimes I use both and I use steroids. And sometimes I add blood thinners. It's an art. And you need to be able to custom tailor the approach. And most patients, and the Talmud says, a prisoner can't free himself. A sick person really cannot heal themselves. When I get sick, I don't treat myself. Because I don't know. Because I'm not going to think the way I think if you were sick, God forbid. And
got it.
I'm not going to be objective. So.
Right. As we look forward, are you concerned that we may, made some fairly dramatic comments out there, that when I look at ADE, when I look at the history of this vaccine, with all of the animal trials, and I say to everybody, all the animal trials, not some of them, all of them were seeing this issue. It was a big enough problem that we watched Dr. Peter Hotez go before the Congress early last year and say there's this problem with immune enhancement that I think is going to be very difficult to get around. Nobody seemed to care. We rushed into human trials. We rushed right out of those human trials to the population. And now we have very highly regarded experts that are very concerned about ADE, that we may be seeing the beginning of this. High titers, high, you know, viral loads, a waning vaccine, which was always the concern. Everybody that's worried about ADE, even though they'll admit they don't really know what causes it, the big concern is if you have sort of a drop in your neutralizing antibodies and what remain or maybe disease-enhancing antibodies. I've said I think that we may see one of the great human die-offs of all times because of this vaccine. Are you of that opinion, or do you see it a different way?
I feel that we're on the verge of a genocide. And I don't use that word lightly. My family was the victim of a genocide in World War II. Over 40 of my relatives were shot or buried alive in a place called Babi Yar outside of Kiev. So I know what genocide is. I grew up with stories about it. So I don't use that word lightly.
Okay.
And I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I hope I'm ridiculed for the rest of my life, because if I'm right, and if the world experts are right, then what we're really looking at is a death rate, according to some opinions, of 90% of the vaccinated people. Now, do I think it's going to be 90%? You know what? Let's say it's only 10%.
Yeah.
So think about it. There are 2 billion people already vaccinated.
Right.
10% of that is 200 million people.
Yeah.
That's not enough?
It's huge. It's huge. I mean, as I said, that would be the largest human die-off that I know of.
Do you know what the death rate would be if every single human being on the planet got COVID-19 and they were not treated? It would be less than 0.5%. That works out to be 35 million people. Horrific. I would never advocate for 35 million
right.
people to die. However, if they're treated properly, you can reduce that number by 85% to 5 million people. So assuming every single human being on the planet got COVID-19 and we treated the high-risk patients properly, we would have 5 million dead people out of 7 billion. You know, I think Bill Gates is a sociopath.
Yep.
I think we're all suffering because he couldn't get a girlfriend in high school. But what he said in 2015 at a TED lecture, you know that,
yeah,
that the world population should be reduced by 15% because of global warming. Then last year, the same guy said that 7 billion people need to be vaccinated. This is all on film. So I'm going to ask you a simple question. Why would I take a vaccine for my health, advocated for and financed by someone who wants to reduce the world population?
I would not think that that would be the best person to take that advice from.
So
I agree with you completely.
Right. So
yeah.
So depending on what percentage you believe, Dr. Dolores Cahill is saying 90%.
Yeah.
Other doctors are saying 75% or 50%. I just told you, if every single human being, 7 billion people got COVID, and we treated people properly, the death rate would be 5 million people. Compare that to an estimate of, let's say, 10% of humanity.
Yeah. Yeah.
700 million people.
Yeah. And we're talking about, you know, over time, the cancers, the autoimmune disease, all the things, and the quality of life that is going to be on the horizon. What, in your mind, when you think that through, when I think of that video with all of these rabbis saying, get your shot, do what's right, you know, and I think of all the politicians all around the world, Israel, America, you know, the UK, you name it, Australia. I don't believe they're all in on some desire. Maybe Bill Gates has a different agenda, but these people are doing what they believe the experts told them to do. What will that moment be like when it sinks in on these rabbis, when it sinks on in on these politicians that I led millions of people to their death? If that ends up, I pray with you that we're wrong, but when we look at the science, do you imagine what that will be like? And how about the people that trusted those spiritual leaders, those political leaders? What happens to our society?
So we're segregating into two groups. I say, I really believe that we're being tested by God here. Mm-hmm. And that every individual is being asked one simple question. Who are you going to seek salvation from? Are you going to bow down to me, who makes you, who loves you, who vivifies you every second, and put your trust in me? Or are you going to bow down to sociopathic oligarchs, corrupt governments, or the golden calf of this false vaccine? Because if you do that, let's see how that works out for you. So I think, I'm a globalist, and I believe in the Great Reset, but in a little different way.
Okay.
I think God is the King of Kings, and that he has global dominion over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to reset the world's mentality from paganism and idol worship and child sacrifice to the service of the Creator. So I'm a globalist, and I'm a Great Resetter.
Okay.
But completely different than the World Economic Forum, who wants to enslave humanity by making you codependent on all these finite government forces and personalities and so on. You know, they say you will own nothing and you'll be happy. What kind of sociopath says that?
I know. Only one that's going to be the one that's renting you everything.
So I think we need to... Now, here's a piece of advice. There's many more of us than them. You know, during World War II, one Nazi with a German shepherd could corral 1,000 Jews into a gas chamber when all they had to do was turn around and trample him.
Yeah.
Because of the demoralization of the individual, because of the fear and the isolation, people have become sheep. And the reality is there's many, many more of us than them. And what we really need to say, I can't really say what I want to say, but I will say to them, no, I will not take your vaccine.
Yeah.
I will rather lose my job or lose my position in school, not travel on an airplane. But you're not going to coerce me into taking a course of action that will limit my future.
Yeah.
I'd rather sacrifice the present than have a future than sacrifice my future for some conveniences in the present.
Very well put.
And the reality is that, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of job vacancies. I wouldn't worry about finding a job.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So you have to have value your life. You have to understand you're made in God's image. Your soul is a part of God, and you have to sanctify it by staying alive and serving him and not given to your fear and run to false gods. I think society is going to segregate itself into two groups. It's already happening.
Who wins?
God always wins. But it's going to be a little bumpy because the house needs to be cleaned up. And a lot of these globalists, these false globalists, are doing the job of cleaning up the slave mentality.
My understanding is you've been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
And so was Arafat, and so was Obama, so it doesn't mean anything to me. But it wasn't me. It was a group of 150 physicians around the world who were leaders who early on advocated for patient care, had the courage to go against the narrative. And so it's, I just got grouped together. I like it because it gives me some credibility. You know, I was, the media did a real good number on me, but I don't really care about earthly rewards at this point. I have a very aggressive cancer, just came back, and it's not surgical. I have to get radiation and immunotherapy. So, I mean, I'm still optimistic, but, you know, when someone lives with that, I'm more concerned what God thinks and not with other human beings. So, and to leave a good legacy for my children, so they should know that they have to do what's right, not what's easy.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for coming and visiting us here in Austin, Texas. I want to thank you for your courage and your vision. I think it's fantastic you've been nominated with others that stood up for something. I hope you win that award. It might be one of the true great Nobel Peace Prizes that was ever given out, but whether or not it comes with an award, I do believe that we are in a spiritual war now, and I agree with you completely that when we look at the Great Reset, when we look at the globalists, when we look at transhumanism and the idea of bringing machines and technologies in to control us, or we can breathe the air that God gave us and celebrate this earth, it seems so obvious to me that we are, for those of us of that come from faith, that read our Bibles, that we are in direct opposition to just the very first teaching, which is don't ever be so arrogant. Don't ever eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You don't know enough. So hopefully we get out of this arrogant space. And for people that are watching right now, what is the best thing that you think each person needs to do right now so that we can shorten this bumpy road ahead?
Well, the first thing is get into your house life-saving stuff that's over the counter.
Yeah.
Go buy quercetin and EGCG. Make sure you have C, D, and zinc. 70% of this country is zinc deficient and D deficient. So you need to prime your immune system so that when you can come into contact with these infections, it's not a COVID thing, it's a general health thing. And make sure you have enough zinc. So that's one thing. And then stay away from a disastrous course of action, which is being driven by your anxiety, because anxiety lives in the psychological space where God is absent. So if you fill that void with the understanding, happy birthday, though, because God has just made you. You know that concept?
Yeah.
He's vivifying you every second from nothing. Yeah. That means you're never alone. If you're never alone, you have no vacuum. There's no room for anxiety. In other words, that is the antidote. That is the best prophylaxis. Do no harm. Don't destroy yourself. You most likely belong to a low-risk category, and you'll survive. And if you belong in the high-risk category, we can take care of you. Use common sense. So I just, common sense. It's pretty pathetic that someone's called a genius for just saying, you know, I think you should treat someone earlier before the infection gets out of control. Well, genius, you know, it's ridiculous where common sense is considered genius. What's happened to this world? They lost our minds.
Well, hopefully we can get our minds back.
I think so. I'm very optimistic about the future. I really believe we're on the cusp of a redemptive event, where the world will be filled with the true narrative. And my family is not blood family. My family are those that are theologically aligned with a God-centered, it doesn't even matter what religion. What matters to me is that someone believes that there's a being that is creating us every second, and that we have to behave according to that being's will. That's what matters to me, and that's who I feel most comfortable with. And I think that we're all going to coalesce, regardless of religion, into those pockets of God-centered thinking. And that will usher in a wonderful era of truth.
I completely agree with you. So let me call you my brother today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you like that clip, then be sure to check out our live broadcast of The High Wire every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You can watch it on iTunes and Twitter. We'll see you there.